You're tuned into Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and here with me is Brian Holst from the Juno Economic Development Council. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for visiting with us today. We'll be talking about some of the upcoming activities for JEDC, as well as your first robotics program today. But let's start with events. The annual Innovation Summit is coming up in about a month. So what's on the agenda for that?
Yes, thank you. Super exciting. This is our 10th annual Innovation Summit, and it usually happens in February, and for lots of people, that was one of their last events that they had before we went into this lockdown, and we thought we would be able to be live again this year, but we are going to be live, but we're just not going to be in person. So we've moved it to April 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's going to be three afternoons. And it's going to be an exciting event. The theme this year is localization in a global economy. So we're really going to be exploring something that has become more clear to everyone is how important your local economy is during every day, but it's become really clear during this pandemic, how much we rely on our neighbors being able to work and being able to have jobs and having businesses open and local. And it's become too easy to buy at a distance. And we're going to have a conversation to refocus on what can we do locally and how do we optimize our prosperity by looking to each other first.
Okay. And I see that registration is open and the call is open for pitch contestants and innovative shorts. Could you say a little bit more about that process? Like who should register? Who should think about putting in a pitch?
Well, the event is open, of course, to anyone. The price is super accessible this year, $99. And with that, you get a $50 voucher on Alaska Seaplanes, one of our sponsors. So it becomes a very, very affordable event. The pitch contest is for entrepreneurs that are looking for an investment. So you apply, we'll select five pitches, and you'll be able to pitch to the audience. And you'll get some feedback from investors, and you will also have the opportunity of winning cash prizes. The Juno Chamber of Commerce puts in some cash prize, and then the attendees vote with their dollars for their favorite pitch. The innovation shorts, these are anything but a commercial. These are really been incredibly popular and valuable. So we allow attendees to produce 10-minute presentations about some innovation that they're experiencing in their business or their workplace, and they share that innovation with others. A very popular element of our event. So we bring outside speakers, but this is a way for the participants here in Alaska to contribute to the event.
And do you can you recall some memorable pitches or innovation shorts that really stood out to you in past years that you could highlight as like an example?
Well, yeah, we've seen some like Amalga Distillery. Brandon, he won the pitch contest one year. Mark Wheeler at Copa, they won the pitch contest one year. And I think they have, I don't want to take credit that the pitch contest launched their businesses, but they were early, energetic, enthusiastic entrepreneurs looking for an audience. And I think they would say that experiences like this help them to make contacts, find investors, develop their ideas better, get feedback, and launch their businesses.
No doubt.
You know, some of the, yeah. You know, innovation short, I'm thinking of, There are several. I really enjoyed watching, and I'm gonna misremember the name of Bob's business, but where he's taken a whale watching and combined it with electric vessels, and he has created, and he quite hasn't gotten to the water yet. But he went through this entire process of developing an electric boat, which soon will debut in Juno to do whale watching. And so that's a way that allows for this experience that we know we're getting a lot of people interested in our whales. And we start to wonder, you know, at what point does it bother the whales? and his solution, really brilliant, is to come up with a whale experience using an electric, very quiet motor that disrupts the whales less and is a very clean experience that people in Alaska want. So a lot of great, this is one of many examples.
Those are some fantastic examples. Copa and Amalga, they're now a household name. So the Innovation Summit, I think, is a great place for a business to check out if they're looking to get a good start. Also coming up is the Alaska Angel Conference and the Arctic Innovation Competition. Do you want to touch on those?
Yeah, so these are two different events. I mentioned the Arctic Innovation Competition. This has been, JEDC has been a sponsor of this since its very first event, which was 11 years ago. And this is a statewide competition. This is an idea competition. And it's really fun and it's valuable for our economy. There are age groups for under 12, and then there's sort of a high school group, and then there's the adult division. And it's an idea, there are many on the way to creating a business or even just inventing something, there's lots of development involved. This is your opportunity to shape up in a few paragraphs what you think is a really great idea, and you want to share it, because who knows, maybe you want to do something with it, or you think someone else might find it valuable. And this competition has been going on, and it just helps in our process of coming up with new solutions for Alaska. So that the deadline for contributing, it's free to sign up for your idea, is the 19th of March, just around the corner.
Sure
and
is.
And the Angel Conference, that's a whole different event. This is at the end of these processes. These is when businesses actually are ready to take an investment and grow their business. And so the conference, we've already selected we have 22 businesses, Alaskan businesses, that are looking for financing. And the Angel Conference is an opportunity for small investors, I guess any size investor, but it's open to small investors, open to non-accredited investors. So people that are in the investment world, normally only accredited investors, those with a certain amount of wealth, are allowed under federal law to make investments into companies because they're really risky and you don't want people to lose their all of their savings. The Crowdfunding Act of Alaska allows non-accredited investors to make small investments of up to $10,000 in Alaska, if they're an Alaskan, into an Alaskan business. So we've set up this Angel Conference to connect interested Alaskans that want to invest in Alaskan companies to make small investments. Our investments are $5,000 investments. And you work together as a pool. You pool your investment together. You'll evaluate these 20 investment options. And as a team, as a group, you will make an investment. And the investment will be north of $100,000. And it really depends on how many investors participate.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. I hope that they get some interesting ideas to consider and make some good investments there. Now, the last time you were here, we had discussed the local frequency app, another project that you're involved in. And since then, I have tried it and it works, but I can tell it's still in its early days. So what's the latest on the local frequency app?
Yeah, thanks for that. And I just really like the chance to just to mention that briefly. So you can, as you figured out, not very simply, go to your app store on whatever device you're on, and the local frequency is what it's called. And we are, we're the first community in the United States to use this app. It's actually an app that we identified in Canada that was developed there. And what it does is it is a loyalty program. So on the app right now, there are, let's say, 10 businesses in Juneau that are participating, and you earn local dollars through the app by shopping at those stores. And then you can use those rewards at the business that you frequent the most or any of the other businesses that participate. So from the business person's point of view, they have for free, essentially, at very low cost, just the cost of the transaction, They have access to a loyalty program for their business. They'll be able to communicate with their clients, anyone that shops from them. And then from a consumer point of view, you have a way to participate with this company, but instead of having a loyalty program for every single different business that you go to, this allows through one app for you to have loyalty access at multiple businesses and the flexibility that you don't have all your rewards in one place, but you can use your rewards across businesses, across the community. And yes, it's early, early in the program, but we're excited about the interest so far, and it is just slowly rolling out. I think Bullwinkles will be one of our next businesses to come out. Doug Alaska Outfitters joined since we last chatted. Hot Bites is going to come on soon. Even the Alaska Fudge Company, we understand, is now interested in joining. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's fun to watch it grow.
All right. Well, I found the app to be pretty easy to use. There's a nice instructional video on your website that was helpful to me as well. And I happen to use it at Devil's Club, but it sounds like a lot of businesses are getting involved with it. And what I like about it is that whatever you spend, you get just a little bit back. So you have a little bit more to spend next time, which is, I thought, a nice feature.
Yeah, and those dollars stay here, and they can only be spent back through, I mean, you never lose your money because your money gets on your app, and then you can always use it to buy at a local store. But you can't, it's deliberately designed so that you can only buy at locally owned and operated businesses. And it's a way just to give those businesses a little bit of a fighting chance to compete with, you know, these larger organizations that have giant budgets and all sorts of gadgets and marketing to get you to shop there. This gives the local person, local business, a better chance. Level the playing field a little bit, we hope.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for those updates coming from the Juneau Economic Development Council. We're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we're going to continue speaking with you and a couple of participants in the FIRST Robotics Program, which is yet another project from the Juneau Economic Development Council. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and I'm here with Brian Holtz from the Juneau Economic Development Council, as well as two students who are participating in the FIRST Robotics Program, which has enjoyed considerable success lately, being fairly adaptable to remote work and distancing. So I'd like to introduce a couple of the students. Welcome Bjorn St. Clair. Hi, Bjorn.
Hello.
And Adrian Whitney. Hello, Adrian.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Of course. You're both students at Juneau Douglas High School, Yadat At Kathle. Bjorn, how have you dealt with the pandemic and continued normal practice while being safe?
It's been interesting this year. It's been hard to coordinate people together because of COVID and people having certain family restrictions. But overall, it's worked out pretty decently. Our the room that we use for robotics is pretty big, and our group is currently pretty small, so we don't have to worry too much about getting too close to each other. And of course, we all wear masks.
We have a big set of mitigation plans in place too.
Yeah, that too.
Got it. Adrian, what are some of the challenges you've had this year regarding the pandemic and funding?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked, because there's a lot of rules specifically for the pandemic this year. One of the rules is we're not allowed to reach out to businesses and ask for funding. And that's probably where most of our funding comes from every year. So we use, like, since traveling, we're not traveling this year, that costs maybe $2,000 to $3,000 for the whole team. And we don't have to spend that this year, but then again, we also have to buy new parts for our robot to keep everything functioning. We bought a bunch of new stuff this year, and we have a few donations, but it's mostly a donation basis and just struggling. We've put a lot of personal money into it this year because we really love the program. It's a great thing to do, but we're hoping things will go back to normal next year.
I think we're all hoping for that. I am as well. And I know that part of your participation in the program is doing research, or excuse me, doing outreach and coming out and talking about the program and telling the public about it. So what exactly is FIRST? I know it's robotics. It provides organized competitions. But what else does it do for students? Bjorn, I'll let you answer first.
So FIRST is FIRST Tech Challenge. And what you do in the program is you have a group and you build a robot, like out of parts, like everything from scratch. It's an amazing experience. And you compete on a floor set with certain challenges built in. This year, we're shooting rings through hoops, which is providing a very difficult challenge to do. And so there's a lot of problem solving behind it. Like you have to do engineering and then you have to program the robot from the ground up basically. And it all comes together and you create something that it just has, like it works usually. I love it. And I know a lot of people in our group loves it.
Yeah. And another thing I want to add about FIRST is it goes all the way to elementary school. So there's multiple FIRST programs. And it's a great way to get kids involved in STEM activities like science, technology, engineering, math. There's a lot of benefits, and it looks good on a college resume. It's a lot of fun. We encourage everyone to, you know, get out and try something new like FIRST, because we want to see as many people in this program as possible. And we've been trying to reach out to newer members this year. And we'll see after the pandemic, I think we'll have a lot more success. But currently we're doing pretty good as well. So
that's great. We'll talk a little bit more about how people who are interested can get involved. But right now I want to hear about the robot. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah. So this year, as I mentioned, we're trying to shoot rings through a hoop is like the big challenge. And designing the robot this year has been interesting because of our funding issues. And there's been, like, it's a challenge that's pretty unique for FIRST. Usually it's not allowed to shoot stuff, so a lot of the systems we have and parts don't accommodate that. So we've had to buy a lot of new stuff, which has been hard on our very small budget. But overall, like, especially within the past few months, we've been making a lot of progress and going from being able to only shoot the rings like a few inches to like 20 feet. It's been awesome.
Yeah. What would you
add? Yeah. And another thing is, you know, just like any engineer, we go through a lot of prototypes. And so at the start of the year, we had something that looks completely different from what we have today. And we will probably have something completely different in the next 3 and 4 days, even just because currently we're in the middle of competitions. And the year is coming close to an end. It's been a bit extended this year, but we keep all of our stuff in notebooks and we write down all of our designs. And sometimes we even do it on CAD, which is an online modeling program, and we can 3D print parts and everything. But yeah, it's very adaptable. It changes quickly. And, you know, it's really good in preparing you for in real life engineering experiences. It's phenomenal.
Did your team design the robot from scratch? Did you have any kind of blueprint to start from?
So in FIRST, there's a few different sets of parts that you can choose from a few different companies. And you can just build them up, and they're very basic. It's just screws and like metal beams that you can just screw together. And so there's no blueprint. There's nothing that you have to follow except like your robot has to be a certain size. It can't break certain rules. It can't injure people. That kind of stuff. But other than that, it's all up to your imagination. You just have to make it work. And it makes you think a lot. Like as Adrian was saying, it's a lot of prototyping. You have to go through so many revisions to just get one thing to work. And there's quite a few systems all working together. Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's good to write it out in blueprints, though. I would say that.
Yeah, definitely being able to like plan ahead is something that is worthwhile.
It sounds like it takes a lot of skills to develop what this machine, this robot that can do what it can do. Teamwork, probably a lot of you bring a bunch of different stuff to the table, and time and patience. And so I can see why FIRST is a great program for students because, you know, it might be something that you find that you really enjoy doing and want to do more of as you continue your education or not. But either way, we're almost out of time. But before we go, I just want to hear from you about what you would say to someone who is thinking about participating but not quite sure. How would you convince them?
Well, what I would tell those people is that just get yourself involved, because I remember I was in elementary school. I was part of the FIRST Lego League, FLL. And I was looking at these robotics teams in high school and thinking, man, that looks nearly impossible. I could never be doing that. And I just threw myself in it within a year. I mean, you get to learn things pretty quick. You'd be really surprised. And the skills you build, I never thought I'd be designing robots, programming, working with metal in high school. It's a really fun thing. And then just the social life that comes with it. Like this year, it's been a lot mitigated because of the pandemic, but it really builds a community. It builds your skills. It's a good thing to do. And I encourage everyone to try and do it if they can.
Would you add to that, Bjorn?
Yeah, and if you are interested in joining, we do have an email that you can contact, ftcjdhs@gmail.com. Just email us and we'll get back to you and give you what you need to join. Yeah, anyone can join who is if you're in eighth grade.
Well, there are some specific.
Well, yeah. Like if you're in high school, contact us. And if you're in eighth grade, you can contact us for next year, and we'd be willing to let you in.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, more than happy.
Thanks so much, Adrian and Bjorn. I could talk about robots with you guys all day, but I want to just take it back over to Brian for a second. And Brian, maybe you can briefly talk a little bit about the relationship between JEDC and FIRST Robotics.
Yeah, super happy to. And, you know, it's an opportunity to develop, help young people like Bjorn and Adrian develop their talents. You know, we see the connection, of course, between economic development and having young people with problem-solving skills and teamwork skills. So JEDC, we organize this statewide. There's 100 teams across Alaska at the different levels. There's 33 high school teams this year, a little fewer than last year because of the pandemic, but I'm just super thrilled that there are teams that are participating. And I just want to shout out to Alaska Airlines and GCI, our two big corporate sponsors that help us maintain this program throughout Alaska.
Great. Thank you so much, Brian, Adrian, and Bjorn. That was a really interesting conversation. I look forward to talking more about it again in the future. You guys take care and have fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.